Okay, we'll say today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Ches. We have tremendous schus to start the fourth parak in Shabbos, which talks primarily about Hatmana, but it's also going to touch upon Muktzah and a little bit of Tuman Tara and stuff. So let's dive right into it. Again, the basic thing to keep in mind when learning Hatmana is that Davar HaMosif Hevel, something that will add heat to the item that you're insulating. Again, Hatmana is insulating. So that's wrapping, let's say, a pot in, you know, towels all around. So Davar HaMosif Hevel is something that will add heat. So that is usur even before Shabbos, and certainly on Shabbos. And wrapping it in something that Davar She'eino Mosif Hevel, something that does not increase heat, is Davar that what they sometimes call Davar HaMaimid Hevel, something that just it keeps the heat inside the item. So that is Mutter and Erev Shabbos, but also on Shabbos itself. And that's going to be the distinction. You're going to see the Mishnah is going to write a bunch of different things. What are you allowed to insulate with? So the question is simply whether it adds heat or not. And so that's the Mishnah says. Bameh tomnin uvameh im tomnin. Right? What are you allowed to do hatmana with, and what are you not allowed to do hatmana with? So im tomnin lo v'gefes, lo v'zevel, lo v'melach, lo v'sid, lo v'chol, b'im b'lachan, b'im yivashim, lo v'tevin, lo v'zagin, lo v'mochin, lo v'asavim, Bisman Shein Lachim, all those things are things that are Davar HaMosif Hevel, we'll just list off what those are. So Gefes is, you'll see, is like remnants of either olives or sesame, we had that before, I'm not sure how to translate it, but so, you know, Rashi says, Pesolus Shel Beis Chabad, like the leftovers when you're kind of squeezing out oil on the olive press, so that's apparently gefes. Zevel is manure, melach is salt, sid is lime or like plaster, lovachol is sand, whether it's wet or dry, lovatevin, not with straw, lovazagin, zagin, Rashi says, is the leftovers of a wine press, so I guess, you know, whatever's left of the grapes, lovamochin is some soft stuff. Rashi writes kol davar rach, anything that's soft, kavar mochin. It's like the poofy stuff you'll see that the Gemara mentions that you'll find inside of a pillow. So that's mochin. Lo ba'asavim b'zman shehem lachem, and not with wet grass. Avotom b'hem k'shehem yivashim, but you are allowed to use grass when they are dry, or any of the other stuff when they are dry, because they will not add heat. Okay, right there. They asked the question. Gefes shal zeisim tan aval v'shumshim in shaper dami. Are we talking about leftovers when you press olives? Is that usur? Aval v'shumshim in, but sesame seeds, I guess they would press sesame seeds. Apparently that would be, if you use that to heat something, that would be less powerful. So shaper dami, maybe that would be mutter, right? It wouldn't necessarily add heat, it'd just maintain the heat. Oh, Delmar, maybe the shim shim in tanan, really we're talking about sesame seed gefes. The kol shekein d'zeisim, and certainly olive gefes would be usher as well. So Toshma, let's learn to bring a proof. Delmar, Rabbi Zeri, Mishum Chad, Debir, Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Zeri said in the name of one of the guys in Rabbi Yanai's base medrash, Kupa, I guess, is like a pot or a box. Shetamin ba, that you use for insulation. And lamaisa, you have the heating item underneath, and you have the box all around. So if you put the pot inside this box or this whatever, this kupa, so it's asur lanicha al gefes shel zeisim. You're not allowed to use gefes of zeisim. So shema minah shel zeisim tanan. Apparently, we see that the Mishnah is talking about gefes shel zeisim. That's what you're not allowed to use to insulate. So it says, La'olam em l'chol l'inyan hatmana d'shimshim nami aser. Really, no. In terms of hatmana, sesame gefes is also aser. But l'inyan asuke have, right, meaning insulation, right, for hatmana that we get, that's aser. But l'inyan asuke hevla, in terms of when you're trying to add heat from the bottom, as we mentioned, this box has the kind of the heat sources underneath it. The zeisim maske hevla, the shimshimin lo maske hevla. Apparently, this zephis of olives will make the heat go upwards, but the sesame kind of all like zephis will not make the heat go upwards. So therefore, when you're using this box that kind of has a place for the fuel underneath it, so you can only use You are allowed to use the sesame stuff, but that's because the heat doesn't go upwards so much. Again, I'm not obviously sure the details, but in terms of mana, so to use all both those things is going to be awesome because they are similarly mostly fatal. Right, meaning that maybe the mission is still talking about sesame and gefas. Okay. Rabban Ramzeria, Ikolan the Beitri Ishkalusa, Rabban Ramzeria went to the house of the Rishkalusa, Chazu'alahu, Avda, the Anach Kuza, the Maya, Apuma, the Kunkuma. So they saw a certain Eved, an Avda, an Eved, putting a Kuza, which is like a bottle or a jug, on the mouth of a Kunkum, of a kettle. Apparently the kettle was hot, and you wanted to heat the water that was inside the bottle that you put on the mouth of the kettle. So Gemara says, Nizhei Rava. Rava got upset and he yelled at the Eved. So I'm letter Zera, my shnami mecham, agabi mecham. Why is that different from one kettle on top of another kettle? Right? You're allowed to put one kli on top of another kli. That's mutter. Right? Gemara's going to talk about that soon. So you know that should be the same thing. So I'm letter hasam akumi kamokim. No, in that case, you're just kind of trying to keep the heat. Right? You have two kettles that are hot. You put one on top of the other, so you're trying to keep the heat in on the kettle. That you put on top or underneath, whatever. But here you're trying to make the bottle or the jug of water hot, right? You have regular water in, right? You have cold water in the jug. You put it in the mouth of the kettle. That you're trying to heat up. That's a davar hamosif havel. That's something that's going to add heat. Hadachazi. Then they saw this same eved. Finally, it wasn't such a good eved. Deparas das todar. Das todar is like a turban, a type of hat, like made out of cloth. Apume de kuba, also over the mouth of this of a jug of a bottle, the anach natla iluye, and then he put a ladle on top of it. Okay, and Nizhei Rava, and Rava also got mad at him and yelled at him. So Amar Rav Zera Amai, he said, "Why are you yelling at him now?" Amar Lei Hashta Chazis. Well, you'll see. Lasov, and eventually Chazis de kametz ma'atzerle. They saw that the servant was squeezing out the turban. Right, apparently, you put a turban on top of a kettle, when you put a ladle on top that puts pressure, apparently it absorbs some moisture, and that is malacha of malabing. You're not allowed to squeeze out, let's say, wet towels or anything, you know, on Shabbos. That's also midaraisa. That's a problem. So that's why, Rabba yelled at him and told him not to do that. So I'm like, my shna mi parvakna. So Rabbi Zera said to Rabba, how's that different than a parvakna? Parvakna is a rag, or like a kind of a shmata, that you use to cover a bowl that has some water in it, and that is mutter. Yeah, Rashi says, "Beged hasui lifros al gigis." Right, it's a piece of clothing that you put on top of a barrel. The barrel presumably has liquid, has wine, has water. Shaposim on Shabbos, you're allowed to put that over the bottle, the barrel on Shabbos. So Amalei hasam lo kapir iluya, because there when you're using a shmata, you don't care about the shmata, right? Rashi writes, "Im shori b'mayim shari lekar im shari l'mayim." You don't care if it gets all soaked. Because sharei lekach also evlo asi ledeschita, you're not going to end up squeezing out the shmata. You don't care about the shmata. Here, it's a hat, it's a turban. You may want to use it later, so then you may come to wring it out, and that is going to be a problem. Oh, we said velo b'tevin. You're not allowed to use tevin or this. Let's see what the other cases were. Just to read it off, lo bezagin, that was the leftovers from the wine press. Lo bamochin, mochin is the soft stuff that you put in pillows. Lo basavin, bismachin lachem, and on grass when they're wet. So boy, back in the Gemara, so boy minei Rav Adar bar Masna la me'abayi. Mochin should tomen behen mal l'teltzlan b'shabes. Let's say you use this mochin. Now this mochin, this soft stuff, Rashi writes, einan ela lasos behen lebadim. Right, they are only really in general used kind of to make into bad, which is like kind of soft material. Umuksin hein lamalacha, because they're eventually they're muksa, because you're going to end up turning them into this bad. Meaning they're basically awaiting fixing. And that's not something that you use in and of itself. Usually you turn it into something else, and turning that into something else is asar on Shabbos, and therefore they're muksa. But now, ve'ilusha tamad b'hem, I'm still in Rashi, if you use this mochin to do atmana, miyam rinan, do we say, yachtan l'atmana, that you set them aside for atmana, v'ikataras kli aleihem, maybe they're actually a kli, maybe they're not mukts anymore, because you're using them for atmana, v'mutra l'taltalam b'shabbos solo. Right, let's say you're going to use this, you did it on Erev Shabbos, what did we say? We said you're not allowed to use the mochin on Nisha said loba mochin. When it's wet. But you're allowed, meaning, let's say you use dry mochin, right? I guess, sorry. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to use the mochin when it's wet, right? There's a bunch of those items that we just quoted are not allowed to be used when they're wet, but you can use them when they're dry. So you set aside the mochin, which is usually mukta, you set it aside to do hatmana when it's dry, which is mutter. So does it become a kli? And are you allowed to move it on it? Are you allowed to move it now? So that was the answer. Sorry. So Amarlay, so he said, Rabbi said back to him, so wait a second. Just because you have a box of grains, or I guess tevin is straw, probably more accurately, what, you're going to make sure that you're not going to use the mochin anymore for this for the pillow stuffing, for this kind of soft material? Meaning, straw is much cheaper, apparently, than mochin. Rashi writes, kupa shal mochin shedameha yikaren. Apparently, the mochin was pretty valuable. And it wasn't really common for you to use the mochin for hatmana. So, apparently, it would still be mukta, because just even though you're going to do, hatmana, you're planning on doing hatmana with the mochin, right? If you ended up getting some straw, so you wouldn't use the mochin, you'd use the straw. So since you may get a cheaper alternative, so it still becomes mukta, because lamaisa, it's really used to be turned into the next step of soft cloth. Okay. Let's prove Abaye's shita. You're allowed to do hatmana with these different types of wool, tzemer. Well, the shana shel argaman and kind of long strips of purple wool, right? They use that in the Mishkan. Uvamochen, and with the soft stuff. But you're not allowed to move them, right? Obviously, you can move it. Move it around to do the hatmana, but you're not allowed. It still ends up as mukta. So you see that Abai is right, that it's still mukta. Imishum ha. So the Gemara says no. If that's the reason, because this brisa lo area, that doesn't work. Hamigamar. This is what the brisa means. In lo taman bahen. If you didn't do hatmana in metatlan osam, you're not allowed to move it. Right, but if it was used for hatmana, so then it is not mukta. So Gemara says yahachi malamimra. So obviously, if that's true, well, obviously, if you're using it for hatmana, so right, you're allowed to move it. Right, if it's not being used for hatmana, though, so obviously it's mukta. Right, you're waiting to turn it into something else and to use it in a malachadik way, which is also in Shabbos. So it's going to be mukta. So my tema. So what might you have thought? Chazi lemigza alayhu, because you might have thought you could lean on them. Right, since we said the stuff is soft, so it could be that it's fit for leaning on. So Kamash Malan, since the Bryson teaches me that if you don't use it for the Atmana, so then it is Muxa. Okay. Rav Chisda Sharla Adure Udra LeBesanya B'Shabsa. Rav Chisda allowed a person to put back soft stuff, the Mochin, into a pillow on Shabbos. Right? Why would that be a problem? Because you might think that a pillow that's flat is not a pillow, and then when you put the soft stuff inside a pillow, so then that's metaken mona, that would be a form of makom patish, right? You're finishing off the pillow. So Rav Chisda said it's not metaken kli, so it's mutter on Shabbos. Esmir, Rav Chanan Bar Chisda, Rav Chisda, Rav Chanan Bar Chisda asked his father, Rav Chisda, matirin beisat arvur b'Shabbos alo poskin, you're allowed to untie a neck on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to open. What does that mean? So it used to be, apparently, back in the day, the dry cleaner used to tie the tops of shirts or whatever people were wearing on the top of their body. They used to tie the neck part closed. So that's mutter to untie, right? Just to keep it, I guess, in an orderly fashion, right? Just like we have hangers, so I guess maybe he would give it back with a stick and you'd have a bunch of shirts with their necks kind of tied together, hanging from it, you can imagine. But you're not allowed to open it on Shabbos, because back in the day, when you would buy a new shirt or whatever, upper cloak, the top of it, the neck area, would be sealed. And when you opened it, that would finish the Beged. So that would be, right, the Taka complete, that would be Makom HaPatish. When you Poteach based on Tzavar, if you'd open up the neck area of the shirt, that would be Aser. Meaning for the first time. The Ainosness Hamochin Lalotoka Karvalotoka, I mean, that's not necessarily an important part of the Brisa. Here's the point where we're really trying to bring. The Ainosness Hamochin Lalotoka Karvalotoka Kasses Beyond Tovin Sarklam Abishabas. But you can't put this mochin, this soft stuff, into a pillow or a mattress on Yontif or Shabbos. So clearly it's Aser. So what do you mean Rav Chisda is telling you? You can put back this soft stuff into the pillow. So Akasha, no. Habachadati, habatiki. No, as the Bryce is saying, you're not allowed to put it in for the first time. You're not allowed to put it in for the first time because then you're finishing the pillow or the mattress, and that's Matakin Mona, that's Makom HaPatish. But if you're just putting it back in, so it's already a pillow, right? You have a little, right? Your kid tears a hole in the pillow. You have some soft mochin coming out. You can stuff it back in there. That's not possible. Tanya Bihachi, we also learned the Brisa, ain't no sense of Mochel, Tokakarbal, Tokakasas, Beyontovel, Tarakhlam, and Shabbos, right? You can't do it on Shabbos or on Yontif, you can't put it into the pillow or the mattress. Nashru, but if it came out, if it fell out, so then Machzirinos or Beshabbos, and Tarakhlam, and Beyontif, certainly you can do it on both Shabbos and Yontif, you can just stuff the poofy stuff back in. Amar Yudomarav. Right, again, we're just quoting what we said before, right, a different mandamar. But Hapoteach based on Tzavar B'Shabbos Chayav Chadas. Again, we said if you open up for the first time this shirt, which had its neck sewn shut, right, and the first time you get it from the store, right, you open up the neck, right, you kind of cut a hole in it, and then you can slide your neck through. So that is the finishing touch on the Beged. If you do that for the first time, see, that's also Midaraisa, and it's Makom HaPatish. Maski V'lo Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana asked the following question. Ma bein zeh l'megufas chavis. How's that different than taking off the lid of a barrel? Right? It literally means taking a sword and kind of slicing it off the top. And as the Gemara is going to say towards the end of the Masech that Rashi writes over here, with daf kuf mem vav, right? A person's allowed to take a sword and chop off the head of a barrel, right? And make sure that you can use whatever inside the barrel. So how's that different than opening up a shirt? So I'm like, Rava, ze chibor v'ze eino chibor. Simply, the shirt is connected, meaning you didn't sew it up. I probably misspoke a little bit, right? The top of the shirt is not sewn up. It's one piece of material. Now, when you take a knife or a scissor and cut it open, so you're cutting it open for the first time, but the barrel, you just glued a lid on top. Right, so when you take the sword and pop open a barrel to get at the wine or the grapes or whatever it was inside, the water, whatever it is, so you're just opening the barrel. The barrel is still a barrel. It has nothing to do with fixing or completing the barrel. But the shirt, the clothing, is completed when you cut it open, and that is why it will be usher. Okay. Ramile, Rabbi Yirmiya, the Rabbi Zera. Tanan, we don't do the Mishnah. Hold on. We have a contradiction between two Mishnais. Shalal Shal Kovzin. Clothes that are tied together or by the dry cleaner, and Rashi says it used to be back in the day that the dry cleaner or the guy doing your laundry would tie together a small piece of clothing. Right, you can imagine you get a bunch of socks on a string or whatever. The socks would be kind of stitched together, sort of, to make sure they don't get lost. That's Rashi, right? Darkam l'shlol habagadim zeim zeh katanim im agadolim. So you give them your pile of laundry, you get your socks tied to the bottom of your pants. Okay. V'shalshel shamaftechos and a keychain. V'beged shutafu b'kilayim. And let's say you have a beged that is tied together with shatnez, with kilayim. Meaning, obviously, you're gonna open them. Chibur l'tzama. Right, it's also for you to wear them, but obviously you're going to open them, right? Rashi writes, "Ein shtei chatikos shel beged tzemer shetavru b'chuch al pishtan." They're two pieces of woolen clothing that's kind of tied together with a linen thread, right? Vaday sofu likara. Obviously, you're going to take them apart, right? Because that's usher to wear. L'afridz emizat. Right? Okay, fine. So all of those cases that are sewn together and joined together, chibur l'tzama. They're considered connected. In terms of Toma, i.e. if one piece of clothing becomes Tame, so all of it becomes Tame, Ad she'yachil lahatir, until you start to untie it. So the moment you start untying it, so then they are no longer considered the same quote-unquote piece of clothing. Alma shalom b'shas malacha na'li chibor. Apparently, what do you see? when you're not doing malacha with them, when you're not doing any work with them, right, even though they're stitched together, yeah, for a certain purpose, to make sure that they are kind of stick together, right, when you throw them in the washing machine, you don't want the socks running away, tie them all together. But even when they're not in the washing machine, right, they're still considered tied together. Or menehu, one second, I'll bring a contradiction. Makel she'asa yad lekardom. Let's say you take a stick, and you turn that into a handle, a yad, a handle, lekardom, for an axe. Okay? Chibur l'tumah v'shas malacha. It's considered one kli when you're using the axe. Right? V'shas malacha. V'shas malacha in, implying that v'shas malacha, bleh. Let me speak again. Chibur l'tumah v'shas malacha. It's considered that, you know, you are, it's considered one kli when you are working with it. Says the Gemara, the implication is, b'shas malacha in, b'shalo b'shas malacha lo. When you're doing work with the axe, one utensil, but when it's not, when you're not, so apparently it's not considered one utensil. So Malay, so Rabbi Seira said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hasam over there, by the case of the axe, shalo b'shas malacha, adam osri lezorko ben ha'itzim. If you're not using the axe, right, again, it's not really, it's not like, we're not dealing with a case where it's tied and glued together, but you just kind of fixed it one on top, one into the next. So you could just end up throwing the wood. Right? It's not an actual handle, it's just a piece of wood. So you may end up throwing it amongst the other trees and sticks and wood gathered yet. Hach over here, shalom b'shas malacha b'nami nichalei. No, when you're not washing the socks, yeah, that are tied together, for example, so it's also nichalei, you still want them to be together, so you don't lose any socks. Di mitanfu hader mechavrlu, and also because let's say, you know, you're waiting to wash the socks and they get dirty again. Right, you're on your way to the laundry. I have this all the time. My laundry is on the merpeset. When it rains in the winter, sometimes the merpeset gets wet. I'm walking, you know, between the laundry machine and the dryer. You have to take it out and put it in. Let's say a couple socks fall out of the basket right into the water. They're all wet, gross. I have to wash them again. So you're happy that they're tied together, so you can wash them without tying them back together. So even when you're not washing the socks that are tied together, so even with shalom b'shas malachta, you're happy that they're together, and therefore they're considered to be one big beged. Okay. Fine. B'surah masnu l'hashmaita mishmei de Rav Chisda. In Surah, they taught the following in the name of Rav Chisda. B'badisna masnu, meaning... and in Pumbedisa, Masnu Mishmei de Rav Kahana. In Pumbedisa, they taught in the name of Rav Kahana. Rami la Mishum de Rav. And some people say it was in the name of Rav. Man Tana Hamilso Damar Rabbanan. Who is the Tana? Meaning, one of these Rabbanim said the following. Man Tana Hamilso Damar Rabbanan. Who is the Tana that taught this halacha? Kol HaMechubur Lo Harehu Kamoso. Kamohu. Anything that's connected to it is like the thing itself. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir Shita. It's not like we learned in a Mishnah in Kalim, Beis Hapach, Ubeis Atavlin, Ubeis Haner Sheb Akira. Let's say you have Akira. Right? Again, we talked about what Akira was, right? The little stove we had before. Akira had a rectangle, two pots. Okay? Back in the day, they used to kind of like, for convenience sake, they used to attach a couple of things to the Akira. It wasn't just Akira. They had things that they would, you know, interchangeable. Not parts, but I guess extras that you would kind of lock onto the kira itself. So beis hapach is I guess a place to put the garbage, anything to catch something there. Beis hatavlin, a place for spices and something to put a lamp and a light. Right? Let's say you're grilling outside, you want to have a light. So all those things are connected to the kira. So metamin b'mago. So the Mishnah says that they become tame if they're touched, meaning if the Kira is touched, so that it's considered part of the Kira, and therefore all those other items become Tame as well. The Ima Tame Be'avir, but they don't become Tame if something falls into the airspace. We know, or we mentioned, I'm not sure, maybe a couple weeks ago, that maybe even, towards the beginning of Sakta, maybe, not sure. Anyway, we mentioned that an earthenware pottery, some sort of kli that has that's made from earthenware from pottery, can be metame if something falls into its airspace. Only by pottery, only by kli cheres. So if something touched the kira, so then everything, all the other items that are attached to it become tame. But if something fell into its airspace, let's say some sort of sheretz that was dead, that's metame, fell into the airspace of the kira, they do not become tame. The other items that are attached to it do not become tame. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Shimon Matar, but Rabbi Shimon says no, they're tahar regardless. Now these things are not important, are not crucial to the kira, but Rabbi Meir says they seem to be one item, right? If you touch the kira, so then the other things become tameh as well. So too, this is Rabbi Meir Shita, that said that all these other items, these socks that are stitched together, even though obviously you don't need one sock, another sock for one sock to be valuable, but if they're stitched together, they're all considered to be one beged. So Gemara says, one second. Bishlam Rabbi Shimon Kasavar Lav Kikira Damo. I understand Rabbi Shimon says they're all tahor because he holds that those kalim that you attach to the kira, they're not part of the kira, and therefore if the kira becomes tame, the other kalim are not tame. But Rabbi Meir, what's the deal? Ika kira damu, if they're like a kira, afilu ba'avir nami litzmo. If they're considered part of the kira, so too, if a sheretz falls into the airspace of the kira, those other items should also become tame. Right? We said he said they don't. But they should. Ilav kira damu, but if they're not considered part of the kira, afilu ba'avir nami litzmo. If the kira is touched by a sheretz, or whatever, so it also shouldn't become tame because they're not considered part of the kira. So the Gemara says, you know, meaning Rabbi Meir doesn't make sense. It's either this or that. So Olam Lav Kira Dama. Really, Midaraisa Rabbi Meir holds they're not like part of the kira. Verabanan the Gozer Bahu, and it's a Gzera. The Rabbanan word goes there that if something touches the kira, they all become tame. So Gemara says, I Gozer Bahu. So Afilu Ba'avir Nami Litzmo. So too, let them be Gozer that if something falls into the airspace of the kira, so the other stuff should also become tame. Where it says, Avdu b'Rabbanan Akira. The Rabbanan wanted to make sure people realize that this is a Dinder Rabbanan, so they made this strange difference between touching and falling into the airspace. Ge'echi d'lo asi l'misra p'alea truma v'kachin. Right, so that you don't end up burning truma or kachin because of this type of tuma. Right, we know that if something becomes vadi tamim midaraisa, so then you have to burn kachin or truma. If it becomes tamim midrabbanan, so then you just leave it. We leave it until right, the phrase is tolin. Right, you leave it until it gets gross, and then you throw it out. So Rav Vanan wanted the people to know that if some way kachim or truma become tame through these through this scenario, they made this strange kind of difference in halacha, just so people would realize it's a tuma the rabbanan. Okay, a little bit more about tuma, and we'll finish up. Tana rabbanan with the braisa. Masporis shel parakim. If you have scissors that are kind of detachable, then they come apart. Vizemel shel ritani. And this is apparently something used by a kli used by a carpenter that also comes apart. Chibur l'tumah. When they're attached, they're tame. Vein chibur l'hazah. But they are not considered attached. Meaning they are attached to the point of, where if one part becomes tame, the other one is also tame, but they're not considered connected in terms of hazah. Hazah is sprinkling of the paraduma. We know that back in the day, if something became tame mace, so to fully purify it after a whole process, you had to sprinkle it with the ashes of the paraduma. If it was one, long kli, let's say a fork, so you obviously just needed to sprinkle on one part of the fork. If it was two separate kalim, you'd have to sprinkle on each kli. So apparently, these detachable kalim, right, whether it's scissors or the carpenter's tool, so they're considered connected in terms of becoming tameh if the other piece becomes tameh, but they're not considered connected in terms of sprinkling the paraduma stuff on the ashes on it. So you'd have to get both sides of the scissor, both pieces of the scissor sprinkled with the paraduma stuff. It wouldn't be enough to sprinkle the ash on one side. Gemara says, "Mimanu shach." Either way, it doesn't make sense. Ichiburhu, if they're considered connected, safilu hazanami should also be connected for sprinkling. Ilav chiburhu, but if it's not considered connected, safilu tumanami lo, so it also shouldn't be connected for tuma. So, which way are we holding here? Amarava, Rava says, Dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur bein tuma bein len lahazah. Midaraisa, when you're using them, right, either the scissors or the carpenter's tool, so they're considered connected, right? Whether for tuma, for hazah, for both of them. But if you're not using them, they're not considered attached at all for either of them. The Gazu Rabbanan and Chazal where goes there, Al Tuma Shalom B'Shas Malacha Mishum Tuma Shabishas Malacha Vel Hazah Shabishas Malacha Mishum Hazah Shalom B'Shas Malacha. Basically, the Rabbanan word goes there to be Machmir. It goes into be Machmir in both scenarios. Because people don't realize, when it's in use, when it's not in use, people are not going to necessarily realize there's no discernible difference between scissors that you're using and scissors that you're not. So the halacha happens to be different if you're using the scissors, or opposed to you're not using the scissors. So Chazal were afraid that people wouldn't realize there's a difference. So they wanted you to be machmir in both cases. So by Tuma, we're going to be machmir that it's considered connected regardless. But by sprinkling, we're going to be machmir that you have to sprinkle on both of them. We're going to consider, right, the chumrah is that you have to do the sprinkling on both pieces to make sure that you get it on both sides of the scissors. Began the rabbanon want the chumrah to make sure that people didn't get the halacha confused, so they just took the chumras of both scenarios. Okay, Rav Moshe Shkoyer Gadol, we'll go right there. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow on Erev Shabbos to Shabbos Daf Mem Tes.